Mr. Martin McGuinness, a man who divided opinion in life and death. Let's have a look back at some key moments in his life, from the IRA to our Deputy First Minister.
I was a member of the IRA, but I've also been part of the peace process.
There are certain circumstances in which the use of the gun is quite justified.
Now, as the officer commanding the Derry part of the IRA provisional operation, can you say whether the bombing is likely to stop in the near future in response to any public demand?
We will always take into consideration the feelings of the people of Derry, and these feelings will be passed on to our GHQ in Dublin, you know.
Who ever said that I was a member of the IRA? Are you saying that I'm a member of the IRA?
Definitive history of the IRA names you as the OC of the Derry Brigade.
Well, I have never said that I was in the IRA.
At the end of the day, it will be the cutting edge of the IRA which will bring freedom.
Am I going to be the only person in prison as a result of the murders of 14 people and the wounding of 13 others on Bloody Sunday?
Are you prepared to go to jail?
Oh, I am prepared to go to jail. I would rather die than disrupt or destroy my code of honour to the IRA.
British intelligence and the RUC are attempting to create a climate whereby I would be assassinated.
McGuinness, Martin, 25,000.
The new British government is a real and determined attempt to rebuild a new peace process in this country.
Sorry,
personally.
Sorry can be a hard word for people to say.
But how sorry are you, Martin?
It can also be easy for people to say. And it can also be very insincere when it is said.
Which is the purpose of my question. I would prefer, how sorry are you?
But I think I would prefer to be judged on the contributions that I have made to resolving this conflict over the course of over 20 years.
My political project, until the day I retire from politics or die, is to build a better future for all of our people. That's what my project is. It's a political project. It's not a military one.
I was Sinn Féin's chief negotiator in the Good Friday talks, yeah, and the St Andrews talks.
But let the people...
I was Sinn Féin's chief negotiator in the Hillsborough talks, getting the IRA to call a ceasefire, put their arms beyond use, getting support for the police. I think that's how people are judged.
How was it to meet the Queen?
Very nice.
We've been described as the Chuckle Brothers back home by people who thought that would have demeaned us in the beginning. It turned against them in the end, and we're hoping we can chuckle our way through 2008.
Hello again.
Very nice.
How are you keeping?
Fine, thank you very much.
Not an inch of no surrender.
Assist the police services, north and south, to defeat these people. They are traitors to the island of Ireland.
Have you killed many policemen in your time, Martin?
Well, I was part of the IRA, as many people know.
Have you pulled the trigger?
Well, let me ask the question. I was a member of the IRA, and the IRA killed members of the RUC and killed members of the British Army. And if there is a responsibility for being a member of the IRA for all of that, then I have to accept the responsibility. But that was in the past.
I wonder if I'm sitting here looking at a killer.
Well, you can wonder all you want. What I'm wondering is what is happening now and what's going to happen in the future. I have dedicated my life to changing all of that to such a point where my life has been threatened. Am I prepared to die for the peace process? I'll die tomorrow morning for the peace process without any fear whatsoever. Arlene, I've been a colleague of for the last 8 years in the government. She and I know what we have to do. We've had a number of conversations. We want to put the negativity of the last couple of years into the dustbin, and we want to move forward with a very positive agenda.
My war is over. My job as a political leader is to prevent war.
When Arlene Foster arrived at Stormont Castle, he complained that the new DUP leader wasn't prepared to match his inclusive gestures.
We suggested to the DUP that Arlene and I should travel to France and go together to a Northern Ireland game and to a Republic game, and they refused to go. I wasn't asking her to go to a 1916 commemoration. It was a football match. It was an opportunity to reach out.
The things that you're sorry for, do they trouble you? Do they actually get to you?
Well, individual situations don't trouble me. What troubles me is that we were all part of a conflict, and that was very troubling indeed.
Martin McGuinness had become a peacemaker, according to Paisley's son, Ian Jr.
And recognised that the remarkable journey that Martin McGuinness went on has not only saved lives, but has made the lives of countless people in Northern Ireland better because of the partnership government that we worked in and have put together. That's incredibly important, and I think it's important that I say it.
There will be no return to the status quo except on terms that are acceptable to Sinn Féin. The situation that we've been dealing with in the course of recent years is unacceptable. I have now called a halt to DUP arrogance. And if the DUP think in the aftermath of an election that they're going to step back into ministerial positions, short of resolving the critical issues, some of which I have identified during the course of this conversation, then they're living in a fool's paradise.
It's a very serious illness. It has taken its toll on me. So I have taken a decision, and it has been well thought out. The question I ask myself is, are you capable? Are you physically capable of fighting this election with the intensity that elections need to be fought? And the honest answer is that I'm not.
The only fair thing to do, which I have done today, was to make it clear that I won't, unfortunately, even though it breaks my heart. My heart lies in the bogside. And with the people out there, I've got a meal of my own.
I saw the signpost to Piercy French's home place, and in the centre of the wall stead was his epitaph, which said, maybe appropriate for me also, remember me is all I ask, but if the remembrance proves a task, forget.
Well, already, if I look at the phones this morning, my goodness, a division of opinion across the country. And we are here to provide a platform for you today, 0330 80 55 55. Let's get the thoughts first from the former Victims Commissioner, Patricia McBride. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the journalist, Ruth Dudley Edwards. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Patricia, let's start with you. This we know and knew that Martin McGuinness divided opinion, but when you hear it in its raw form over the last 24 hours, there is a deep-seated anger towards him, and there is a deep-seated appreciation of what he has done at the same time.
Yeah, he did. That's very true. The responses to his death have been widespread. But your recording there at the start of the programme, I have to say, it was a hard listen for someone who, you know, like me. I've known Martin McGuinness since my childhood. He was my MP, my MLA in Mid Ulster for many years. He was the minister that I reported to as Victims Commissioner. So I've known him in many, many different contexts. And what we know fundamentally, and I have to agree, what stood out for me there was the words of Ian Paisley when he said, we need to acknowledge that Martin McGuinness, in becoming a peacemaker, not only saved lives, but made so many lives better than they had been. And I think that that's the key thing for me, certainly. I acknowledge that there's hurt and there's pain in victims, especially those who are victims of Republicans, and that they see Martin McGuinness as someone that they can channel that pain towards. And that's normal and that's rational, and we have to allow space within our community. We are still, you know, we are still in a peace process. We are not in a post-conflict situation. We are still in a situation where we need to allow people the space and the time that they need to come to terms with the loss that has happened and with the harm that has been done right across our community. And the fact that Martin's death has allowed people the space to do that is not necessarily a negative thing in my point of view. But I think there's so much more to the man as well. I think, you know, we have to recognise the fact that Martin was the type of person he had the moral authority to bring the Republican movement along with him on the journey towards peace. And that, probably more than anything, will be his legacy.
Ruth?
I think his legacy will be in tens and tens of thousands of people whose lives were destroyed by the actions of the IRA. Now, I can see positive things to Martin McGuinness. He was courageous. He was very able. And Sinn Féin are going to be in a bad way without him because he had more brains than the rest of them put together. And he also didn't have a big ego. He didn't have vanity. He was prepared to put the project first and not think about himself. He was, in that sense, selfless. He was very, very able. But he was also utterly and absolutely ruthless. And I don't know where our moral compass has gone, Stephen. This man was a mass murderer. The IRA was a mass murdering organisation. He was running it.
They would say something, the people who support him would say something similar about the British state.
Well, indeed they would. They were filled with lies. I mean, if I can go back to the beginning, which Martin was very given to doing, the discrimination suffered by women in Ireland and Britain, and indeed, I mean, we'll talk about the rest of the world, was far greater than the petty discriminations of Northern Ireland. Far greater. When I think of the jobs I couldn't get in the 1960s, I mean, you would just be told women didn't get these jobs. You don't apply for this job. But I never thought of picking up a Kalashnikov. You just got on with trying to make progress through conversation, through discussion, through political pressure. And that's what we did. And there wasn't any bloodshed. There was no excuse for this bloodshed. Now, having said that, I've had friends who got caught up in terrorism when they were young. I entirely understand why a young man in the bogside at the time of those riots and so on get caught up with it. But there is no excuse for what happened after that. Absolutely none. They try now to rewrite it and claim that this wasn't about a united Ireland because they can't admit it was that because they haven't got it. And they try to claim it was all about equality and human rights. That is absolute garbage. Any of the things the civil rights people were asking for had been granted by 1972.
Patricia?
Well, I think, first of all, I mean, Ruth to say, as a historian, I'm appalled that she would say something like the mass murder carried out by the British state is lies and propaganda. She's clearly forgotten Bloody Sunday, Ballymurphy. She's forgot about the shoot to kill policy, children being killed by plastic bullets. That happened. You know, that is a fact, and it's an undeniable fact. But today's not the day for comparing casualty lists. Today's the day about looking at the legacy of Martin McGuinness. It's looking about how we use that legacy in a positive way to further peace building. And I don't accept the fact, I don't accept the statement that the demands of the civil rights movement had been met by the early 70s. We are still in a position where we don't have equality in the north of Ireland, where people still have to fight to educate their children in the way that they wish to do so, where there is equal access to employment right across the community. I mean, just look at nationalist areas west of the Bann where unemployment rates are still high because of a lack of inward investment. That's discrimination, and that's institutionalised discrimination. We still need to tackle that. So we are still a long way from ensuring that everyone has equal rights and equal opportunities as citizens of the North of Ireland.
Yes, I'm sorry. Just your mention of something like inward investment. It was Martin McGuinness's idea to murder businessmen in the 1980s. Geoffrey Agate and people like that. Because they were going through their Marxist phase. That's why you can continue to fight the war all that you want,
but some of us are more interested in cementing the peace and how we move forward from...
Yeah, but what we're talking about today is Martin McGuinness and our memories of Martin McGuinness and what Martin McGuinness's legacy should be. We're not talking about the future today, are we?
Well, we're talking about Martin McGuinness's contribution to this country. Let's not talk about what Martin McGuinness's legacy should be. Let's talk about what his legacy actually is. His legacy is that we had a Good Friday Agreement, which was overwhelmingly endorsed by majority of the people on the island of Ireland. He was the person who delivered IRA decommissioning. He was the person who had the moral authority to bring the Republican movement along with him to support policing. He was the person who led Sinn Féin into negotiations regarding the implementation plans for the Good Friday Agreement that we saw at St Andrews, that we saw at Hillsborough,
and most recently in the fresh start agreement. So that has been.
And Ruth, you would have a different view as to what Martin McGuinness's legacy is.
Well, I think it's a mixed legacy. I mean, my difficulty, and I supported the Good Friday Agreement, and the person who actually gave all to the Good Friday Agreement was David Trimble, who was politically destroyed for it by Paisley. The SDLP and John Hume. John Hume lost his party over it. I had supported the Good Friday Agreement because I really thought that the people of goodwill in the centre would get together. And, of course, what happened was that the extremes got together. So I'm not very happy with that. But I do acknowledge that Martin McGuinness had the authority with the hard men to bring them along. But the point is, all this was done on unnecessary bloodshed. And we are supposed now to put this all under the carpet. What about the moral? I mean, we have old men now being chased for having sexually assaulted a girl in 1971 and police arriving at their houses in the middle of the night. But we're supposed to say, oh, it doesn't matter if people were involved in mass murder. That's okay. We must all think about peace.
We're hearing this morning that from the DUP themselves that Arlene Foster is undecided as to whether she's going to attend Martin McGuinness's funeral. Should she go, Ruth?
I don't know. I think it has to be instinctive. It would be the political thing to do, I suppose. But then she's going to have to listen to Encomia when she's there about a murderer. And somebody, remember that Martin McGuinness delivered the eulogy to Seamus McIlwain, who made a spirited attempt to murder Arlene's father. And that's the truth of it, and just missed. And you're expecting an awful lot of her. That's one of the things that Sinn Féin are so good at in propaganda terms, always putting unionists on the back foot. Oh, she's so unforgiving. Well, she saw her school bus blown up. You can't wipe these things out of people's mind. You can't say Arlene Foster should. Arlene Foster will have to do what she can bear to do and what is politically right and what she thinks is morally right. And it's not an easy decision.
Should she go, Patricia?
Arlene Foster, up until very recently, was the First Minister of the North. She is the leader of the DUP. And that brings with it certain public responsibilities and certain public duties. For her, she will need to balance those against her own wishes and feelings and the challenges that it will create for her. But ultimately, I believe that Arlene Foster is a strong enough and courageous enough woman that she will do the right thing and that she will go to the funeral of her former Joint First Minister. I think that's the right thing to do. And ultimately, I believe that she will have the strength and character.
We're being told that we are to receive momentarily a statement from the DUP as to their present position on whether Arlene Foster will or will not go to Mr. McGuinness's funeral. Brian in Lambeg. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. On pondering Martin's contribution, it makes me wonder what would have happened if Mr. McGuinness and the IRA hadn't embarked on their murders campaign, because the SDLP were more than capable of achieving equality in Northern Ireland at a far earlier stage and without the drastic loss of innocent lives.
Well, you say we're inviting Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin didn't want to come on yesterday. Indeed, we're inviting them to come on today again because they will be much more able to convey their position than I will be. But Sinn Féin will say that you're talking about that murderous campaign. They will question that language and they will say, remember the context with which some Republicans were using violence. They would say they were trying to defend their community.
SDLP were more than capable of doing that. Jerry Fitt was more of a man than Martin McGuinness will ever be. The SDLP were hijacked. All the demonstrations were hijacked for the purposes of the IRA to cement their control of the nationalist community. The IRA accepted that the political process was the only way to go in the early 80s, but it still left them 14, 15 years of murdering people and bombing places before they decided to take up the ballot box. This was to manipulate the nationalist population into believing that the only protectors were the IRA and Sinn Féin.
George in the Shankill. Morning, George.
Morning, Stephen. Just mindful that there's a family there up in Londonderry, you know, grieving for the loss of their father and their grandfather, you know. But my point would be, well, the likes of Patricia, you know, this myth that you know, the Bogside and other parts of Northern Ireland were the only parts, slum parts, and this is why people went to war, you know. Let me give you a quote from the late Hugh Smith that he made in 1973 and 74, and this is him reaching out long, long before Sinn Féin put a hand of friendship out. Hugh Smith said at that time, historically unionist politicians fed their electors the myth that they were first-class citizens, and without question, people believed them. Historically nationalist Republican politicians fed their electorate the myth that they were second-class citizens, and without question, people believed them. In reality, the truth of the matter was that we were all, Protestant and Catholic, were all third-class citizens, and none of us believed it. And I've challenged Patricia and anybody else that's coming on this morning. I was brought up in Brown Square at the bottom of the Shankill, run alongside Divis Street in the Lower Falls. I challenge anybody to produce me a photograph that had better housing, or my family had better housing, or better prospects than anybody.
Remember what we're talking about today.
I agree with you completely, George.
Well, let's not forget that. I spent the first
years of my life on the Woodstock Road, so I know exactly what East Belfast is like.
Well, my point is,
my brothers and sisters ran around barefoot, too.
Right, my point is, if I could make it, please.
We're talking about Martin McGuinness today, George.
Why they went to war. So they did. And, you know, there was no reason for none of it. You know, we could have done without all this here from 1969, because we were all in the same boat in reality. And that was in the early 70s, unionist politics.
Let me ask you this question, George. Should Arlene Foster go to Martin McGuinness's funeral?
Well, that's a private thing for Arlene Foster again, because...
Well, it's a very public thing for Arlene Foster as well, as someone who was, until very recently, the first minister of this country. And she's still the leader of the biggest political party in Northern Ireland. Should she go?
And she is one that I'm talking about, has been touched directly by the hand of the trouble. So therefore, you know, she needs to step aside, look at it and think, you know, is it my place to go there as a leader of unionism, or could I bring myself to forgive what the IRA did or to my family? You know, as I said, I'm not going to slate Martin McGuinness today, and I said it yesterday, I wasn't going to slate him because there's a family there, but we also need to respect and realise and watch the wishes of the people that was touched by violence. You know, we cannot forget about them over the next 3 days or four days.
It'll be interesting to see if Peter Robinson is at the funeral, actually. He talked about having, quote, the best of relationships with Martin McGuinness. He said they kept in touch with each. Martin McGuinness kept in touch with him after his retirement and during his illness. And he also said, this is from Peter Robinson, he said, "I do not believe that any other Republican could have performed the role he did during this transition. In the difficult days we presently face, his influence will be greatly missed." George and Fermanagh. Morning, George.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I'd just like to ask, is it going to be a paramilitary funeral? And if so, Arlene Foster would have, and any other unionist would have a lot of trouble, I would think, going to it.
Joe in Belfast. Morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Joe.
Belfast City Council is to open a big of condolence for the mass murderer Martin McGuinness at 10:30 this morning, and I, as a citizen of Belfast, totally disagree with it, and it shouldn't happen whatsoever. And I want to know, did any unionist Belfast City Councillors agree to this?
Well, is there not a role, Joe, for people in society to appreciate what Martin McGuinness contributed to Northern Ireland in recent years?
Martin McGuinness contributed to the death and mass murder of the citizens, Protestant and Catholic, in Northern Ireland.
He contributed to saving many lives in Northern Ireland too.
He took many lives. So do you just forgive him? Would you forgive loyalist mass murders?
Patricia?
Many people have. You know, that's what a peace process is about. For some people, it is about, for many victims and survivors, perhaps forgiveness isn't the correct word, but it is coming to terms with the loss that you have endured. It is about ensuring that the conditions that existed during the conflict no longer exist, that we don't go back to resolving our problems through violence, and that we try to do it through negotiation, through the political arena, and through respecting one another's identities and our right to define ourselves as who we are. And I think that's part of the success of our peace process. I think I just want to go back to the issue of the attendance at Martin McGuinness's funeral. I don't know whether or not Peter Robinson will go, given that he is no longer he is no longer in the on the public stage, as it were. He's no longer an active politician. But I do think that one of the greatest one of the greatest gestures of peacemaking and show of good faith in a desire to create a new society in the north of Ireland for all of our people would be if Arlene Foster could attend the funeral. I would send significant message.
Yes, Joe, go ahead.
Are you actually saying or implying that there's a threat of, if the unionist community don't talk to Sinn Féin, that we could have a return to the mass murder that Martin McGuinness overseen?
I would suggest that in the absence of a political process, something else, something else will fill the vacuum. That's not a threat.
So you're actually saying
she's not threatening anyway. She's giving a political analysis, Joe.
She's implying.
She's giving a political analysis.
She's implying if the talks don't work out, that there will be a turn to the mass murder that Martin McGuinness overseen.
Well, what do you think will happen if there is no political agreement at Stormont? Let me turn the question back on you.
We'll go back to Drag Rule.
Do you think that people that everyone who lives in our society would be content in that situation?
Listen,
Do you not accept that there's a possibility that in the situation of direct rule, dissident Republicans who are not on board and haven't been on board with the peace process will seek to fill that vacuum? Do you not accept that there's an increased threat of violence following Brexit if we're facing a situation?
No, I do not.
Do you not accept the customs officials and security
are a Democrat, you would abide by the wishes of the people of the United Kingdom. This Brexit wasn't a vote, and we're not on to talk about Brexit today.
So what we are on to talk about is Martin McGuinness. So let's focus this again. Why, Joe, can't you accept that for those people, you brought up this book of condolence at Belfast City Council, why can't you accept, while you wouldn't want to sign it, some people would, and is there not a time, especially at a time of someone's death, that you respect the decorum of dignity that should be around that and let people commemorate who they want to commemorate?
So you're asking me and other people in this part of the United Kingdom to send a book of condolence to a mass murderer?
Of course I'm not asking you to do it, because you clearly wouldn't do it. I'm saying to you, do you not think for those who do want to sign that book of condolence, should they not have a right to do it?
Well, in my eyes and many other people's eyes, as I'm sure you're aware of, Martin McGuinness was a mass murderer, and to sign that book of condolence would be condoning mass murder.
And you don't think he was a peacemaker in recent times?
I think he was playing a political game.
You didn't hear him call dissident Republicans traitors to Ireland for killing a police officer. Listen, you didn't hear him supporting the police over recent times.
Stephen, Sinn Féin live in Catholic areas and they know who these people are.
Sinn Féin are a political party, democratic party, with a mandate.
Yes, but they know who the people are in their areas who are committing these murders and attempted murders.
Really? How do you know that?
It's obvious, Stephen.
It's obvious. Well, it might be obvious to you. It's not obvious to many other people. And Sinn Féin would say, if anybody has any evidence, bring it to the police. 03030 80 55 55. I mentioned Peter Robinson earlier on. It's a fascinating letter he's written, actually, which you can read in the Belfast Telegraph. It was printed there.